So, Hare Krishna, I wish to also express my profound gratitude for being here today with you. I came actually, I believe, 2 years, not 2 years, 2 weeks ago to America. And as Aditya Narayan said, I was invited to present Living Name Retreats in New Vrindavan, in the Silicon Valley, and in some university-related programs. And also here, it seems that this is following me. And like many of you, I'm also on my way to the Sadhu Sangha retreat, where I've been asked to guide devotees deeper into the chanting of the holy name. Here's, I believe, Krishna Priya, whom I have met unexpectedly in an airport. Hare Krishna. Would you like to sit on the sofa? There's still sufficient place. I have seen many of you already in my previous visits here. I'm very happy to see Jagat Purusha Prabhu, our brave soldier from the pioneer, during the pioneer days of preaching Krishna consciousness in India, specifically in Mumbai. It's a great honor to see an older brother today. And Kukulendra is here, and of course Apurva and his wife, and many of you. I was obviously thinking how we could make the time which we have together into the most fruitful experience for everyone. What I can present is requiring your attention, and I know this is something hard to get in the modern times. So I will have to now do a few things which most probably I do not know how well your child will be able to listen to what I have to say, because I'm lacking the capabilities to connect to children. So when you should see that she is getting, or he is getting restless, maybe we have a children room. Srinivas, do we have a room where mothers with the restless children are welcome? They can go upstairs, yes, and play and tend to the concerns of the children. Later you will sit and give also lectures. Already practice is going on in you. Haribo. Also, I will request that there's one midanga only and not many. And yes, good. So, my dear devotees, a few, let me say, when I was in my 20th year of practicing Krishna consciousness, I came into a severe crisis, that required a solution. We are not able to hear you clearly. Should I be louder? Is this better? This is much better. Good. But someone who knows how to amplify sound requires to make the sound more fine, less echo, less all this. Yeah, so I came into a sincere a serious crisis. The crisis was that I had joined Krishna consciousness with the expectation to become closer to Krishna and to actually experience Krishna consciousness on a, you know, at least sometimes. I had also come being really inspired by the promise that I would transform, that my material desires would go, my bad habits would go. But after 20 years, I had to ask myself how much of these goals had been achieved. How much had I experienced Krishna's presence? How much was I actually changing? And my heart became that. How much had my heart become a devotee, or was I still a stubborn German? And really, after searching my heart, I had to say I had not really changed. I was dressed differently. Now, I did not say hello any longer. I said Hari Bol. I had a spiritual name. I had an unusual haircut with the sika. But I had not changed inside. And this was a problem. See, many of you are from the Indian community, and for you, it is natural to come to Krishna consciousness because it's really your culture. But I did not join because I wanted to change, because I wanted to adopt a religious culture from India. Nothing was further from my mind than that. I had really joined to meet God. Hare Krishna. So here I was in a dilemma. Some of my God brothers with whom I talked said, "Oh, Sachinandan Swami, be satisfied. You are doing devotional service. You're pleasing Prabhupada as a preacher. And, you know, you have all of us. You have the ISKCON movement." But my answer was, this movement is so different from my social background. I joined Krishna consciousness despite of ISKCON, not because of ISKCON. Because it was so different. I was not a hippie when I came to Krishna consciousness. I was not poor. I was not without a perspective. There were so many, my future was chalked out already by my family. I was different. And it was hard to take a cold shower every morning. We were poor, we didn't have hot water. It was very hard. Devotees said, because I was so different, two of them had to hold me, one on the left side and on the right side, another one, and then they poured the cold water over me. It was just so... I was every time shaking. So I had not joined because of ISKCON. I had joined despite of ISKCON. I had joined because I wanted something spiritual. I wanted to meet God. Now I was in a dilemma. Had I made a mistake? The process did not seem to work. I had not reached my spiritual goals. Can you imagine the crisis when someone does something, tries to find out a certain path in life, and he, after 20 or 25 years, I'm not so good in counting years, finds out nothing has happened so far from the results which were promised. It's a crisis. So at that moment, my Bertha Master had left already the planet. I could not ask him. I did a thorough study of the writings of Prabhupada, and I would find statements: chanting Hare Krishna means to associate with Krishna in the heart always. I would find statements which would say that by chanting Hare Krishna, one thinks automatically of Krishna, and whoever thinks of Krishna at the time of death goes back to him. And again, Srila Prabhupada's books, but also his recorded lectures, directed me to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Now, I had chanted all these 20 plus years, my 16 rounds. That was not what I had done. But I remembered one statement of Prabhupada. He had said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might miss the point. So had I maybe missed the point in chanting the holy name? This question came up, and again I studied, and I started to give the holy name a chance in my life. I made sure that when I was chanting, I was observing the different recommendations, for instance, to avoid offenses. But really, it all started to flow when I gave the holy name more time. Every year, in the month of October, November, it's a month of Kartik, I would stop all my preaching activities and chant the whole day the holy name. I thought, when a relationship is not working very well, then you need to spend more time with the person. So when my chanting was not working so well for me, so maybe I should spend more time with the holy name. I found also that it was customary in old times that everyone except those who would go out and preach the message of Bhagavad Gita would chant 64 rounds a day. That was the standard of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I made it a point to step up my time, to spend more time. I say nowadays, I went on a long walk with the holy name. Do you know this, when something is wrong in a relationship, that you say, can we speak, please? And if the other person is ready, you may invite him maybe for a long walk in Raleigh Durham, up the river, this nice river. How do we call the river? Eno River. Eno River. No? And you walk for, let us say, 3 hours, you sit on the benches, and you clarify what needs to be clarified. And afterwards, you may feel we have removed the obstacles in our relationship which hindered us from communicating very nicely the last 5 years. And you may even embrace your friend and say, oh, I'm so relieved really that we could clarify this and that this is now working. And let's not let this not be a one-time event. Let us always work on this relationship. So this idea came to, when I was looking for a solution for an existential crisis. I want to ask you today, how is your relationship with Krishna? I mean, practically, how often do you think of him in the day? How enthusiastic are you to surrender to his desires and put your own desires on second place? Or another question, do you want just a nice life where you idealize normalcy? Or do you want to go back to Godhead still? What is going on in your life? How alive is your Krishna consciousness? These are not questions which need to be answered in a public assembly. They are just questions which we can ask ourselves when we want to assess where we are at the present moment in our relationship to Krishna. Do you still believe that Krishna is God, or do you only, or let me ask the other question, what if Krishna is God? Would that change your life? What if Krishna is the holy name? Would that change something in relationship to your chanting? And here another question, what if you're not the body and the mind? I know we say it in the lecture, but I'm now asking a question. What if it is true? Would that make a difference in the way you live? In other words, do you also feel you need to make your spiritual life more vibrant, more real, more alive? If you think this, then you must ask the question, how? Twenty years ago or so, you know, when this crisis was there, this question, how was my can I become more fixed in Krishna consciousness, led me to explore. And after working for many years on this, I came up with a book. I have it here with me. It's the Living Name, and it is about how to contact the life force, that which makes our chanting alive. It has five pranas, or five devotional practices, you could say, and it has exercises, a lot of exercises that is that help you to bring the chanting to a very high, wonderful level, where you have good answers to these questions. The plain truth is, if we chant the holy name with deep taste, we will meet Krishna in his holy name. But this taste, this being really absorbed in Krishna, this being really thinking of him all the time, can only happen when the heart is purified. The heart which is not purified, which is filled with so many unnecessary desires, that heart thinks of the material energy. Only a heart which is again in its natural position, I'm speaking of the spiritual heart, will naturally and voluntarily and spontaneously and lovingly and with taste think of Krishna. Oh, but I mean, okay, you really, we expected something else from you, Sachinanda Swami. You say we suffer because our heart is impure, but how to purify the heart? You say you can only chant when your heart is pure. Can't you give us something that can help us to purify the heart? Can't you give us something that brings us to the level where we chant the holy name with genuine taste? And the answer is, there is a practice which Prabhupada has taught us, which I have called, to give it a new name, alignment. Alignment means to bring yourself together and to bring yourself fully present into your spiritual practice. You have a body, you have a mind, and you have the heart, and I'm speaking of the heart here as a seat of emotions, also emotions for Krishna. And if you align these three things, you will chant with more taste, with more absorption. But if the hands are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and the mind is somewhere else, and the heart is either disturbed or you don't know what's going on, then in the state of non-alignment, you cannot be absorbed. You are in fact, although you chant with your body, the hands count the rounds, you are not present-minded, you are absent-minded, and you are not really there. Think of alignment like maybe a sports car. A sports car has wheels, it has a gear, it has a cylinder, and it has a tank with fuel. Only when these work together can the car go somewhere. When the wheels of your car are lying somewhere, but are not fixed to the car, or if the cylinder, the motor, is in the garage, your car doesn't work. The car goes only very nicely when the wheels, cylinders, tank, and everything is together. In the same way, your chanting will come together and work very nicely when your body, mind, and heart are really connected to the practice, and they're really one, when they're really in tune with each other. In this little first workshop, or first presentation, I would like to repeat to you a little what Prabhupada said, how we can bring our body there. See, our body, mind, and heart, they are divine endowments. This word endowment means gift, but endowment suggests that we use these gifts to reach a certain goal. So the body, the mind, and the heart are given to us by Krishna. And if we bring these together, if we align these into the main spiritual practice of chanting the holy name, my dear devotees, miracles can happen. It's almost as if you bring the match to the place where you rub the match, then fire comes. So if you bring your body, mind, and heart to the practice, Krishna will manifest. Haridas Thakur once said something wonderful to Lord Chaitanya. He said, in the treasure house of Krishna, there is one main treasure. Can you imagine what that could be? Mercy, holy name. What about love of Godhead? But of all the treasures which the Lord has in the treasure house, which he can give to us, the holy name is the supermost and foremost treasure. And the reason this is so is because even an impure soul who needs help to advance can engage with the holy name. you can't, if you're not yet pure, you can't engage with prema bhakti. It's something which doesn't, it's too far away from you. When you are in a conditioned soul, you cannot engage with things that are purely spiritual. You're too conditioned. You're too materially covered. But the holy name is Krishna's most important treasure, because it's the holy name is Krishna himself, who has come in a form in which even you and me, me and you, I mean, I'm the most person needs and most help here, can engage. We have a tongue. We have ears. We have a physical body that can pronounce the holy name. And as you pronounce the holy name, the Krishna will do the work which is so necessary. He will appear on our tongue and in our heart and purify our hearts in such a way so that we can engage with him directly. See his form, nama, then comes the rupa, become aware of his qualities like his mercy, and also eventually see his pastimes. Right in the heart. Because Krishna, in a way, that's the job of the street sweeper or heart sweeper. Purifies the heart. So that it is possible for the fallen soul to see the Lord with pure eyes and pure eyes of transcendental love. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the first meeting of any conditioned soul with God is the meeting of him in the form of his holy name. First meeting. So you meet him if you engage what you have now, your body, your mind, and your heart in Krishna's, in the service of the holy name. Would you like to know how to do this practically? Yes. With the body, you can practice a proper posture. You can see, the moment we say sit posture, everyone goes like, yo. I remember once, I have an older brother who is also a devotee, very nice devotee, much nicer than I am. And he came when he was young to Amsterdam, to the Amsterdam temple, and he was there in Prabhupada's lecture. And like many of us, he said like this in the lecture. Why do you laugh? You sit always often like this when you need to relax from the other position. So Prabhupada was on his Vyasasan like this, and he said, don't sit like this. When we were sitting with him, and he would see someone slump over, he would say, sit properly. He would say like this. This is so because posture has an immediate effect on the mind. When you sit like this, you're more open. You open your shoulders a little, you're more open. This making this gesture of the hands, it's a receiving gesture where you feel more able to receive something. That's why when people meditate, they prefer this position and not this position. It's more something, an active phase, a Muhammad Ali phase. Gesture, no? Gestures influence us tremendously. When you, I always tell in my holy name retreats that this ancient story from India, where a man came to a saint and to tell him about his problems and the miseries he was experiencing. And the saint stopped him and just said like this man, like this. And only after 1 minute he said, "It works with me also. Now I'm also totally depressed." My dear devotees, there is an almost embarrassing relationship between the body and the mind. You know, the mind and its attitude form the body. You can see when someone is distressed or is sad, and vice versa, the position of the body will influence the inner mentality. So sit properly is a very good first advice. Then, if you want to chant the holy name and engage with the holy name, you must pronounce the holy name properly, using the upper and the lower lips, not slur them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The sound must be produced. It's a service to do this. And finally, when you chant, you can engage your body in listening to the sound vibration. We hear us, but do we listen to each other? You know, sometimes we, I remember when I came to America, there was a very busy god brother. He was reading something. I had something in my mind to tell him. I was really, really, it was very important for me to talk. And he was reading something because he had to prepare something. And he said, I'm hearing you. After 15 minutes of trying, I said, "You are hearing, but you are not listening." There's a huge difference between hearing and listening. Listening means to hear with focused attention. So I would just, for the beginning, request all of you to now sit properly. We will do what we heard about. We will pronounce the mantra properly. You don't need to have your beeback. If you do have, it is certainly good to use it. And to listen to yourself. Now, before you listen, I will make a little exercise with you. I will chant only one name of the holy name of the mantra and request you to listen. You will see it will be quite something. I will chant this, and then we will chant this 5 times, and your duty will be to listen to the mantra which I chant to you, the name which I chant to you, and sit properly and pronounce properly and listen. I will chant 1 time alone, and then you will please join me. Listen with absolute concentration. Two more times. Some of you are not yet concentrating. will chant the entire Hare Krishna mantra, and we will chant it together, and we again try this thing. Bring your body there, pronounce it, the mantra properly, or the names in the mantra properly, and then listen, absorb the sound vibration. Be like blotting paper, which absorbs ink, and then the white blotting paper is no longer white. It has the beautiful blue color of the ink, or like this with it. Be like blotting paper in your consciousness. Let us see what happens. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Please continue. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Please watch your posture.
Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Please continue. Chant a little softer.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Please watch your posture. Now the pronunciation, clear pronunciation.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare
Rama.
Now listen, listen, listen. Absorb the sound. Let the sound come into your ear channel.
Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you. Thank you so much. The next. Now we have the wheels of chanting, if we want to stay with this analogy. Now we need to bring the motor, the mind, to the practice. There are many ways how we can engage the mind in chanting. And let us say the beginning process is to simply bring the mind back whenever you catch it wandering. I once talked to one kirtan leader who's traveling the world, and he's a devotee of our movement, and he said to me, very famous kirtan leader, Madhava is his name. He said, when you actually can catch your mind being distracted, that's very good. Because most of the time you are distracted and you don't notice it. You're either in a type of mood, a certain inner atmosphere where you're not yet totally alive to what you're doing, or you are thinking something, or you are, let me say, informed by some sadness maybe, or some general, I don't know a good word for mood, you know, inner life, and so on. But if you can actually see, oops, my mind just went away or was not present, then you can do something and bring it back. Yeah? So the first and most easiest practice with the mind is to always bring it back to the chanting. Prabhupada once said in Hawaii, well, what's the question of the mind? You just chant and you hear, bus. No question of the mind. That means no activity of the mind. You just hear and you, first you need to chant and then you hear. So that is what you can do with the mind. Just bring the mind always back to the sound vibration of the holy name. I don't know where, maybe in New Vrindavan, I told my audience what I had learned from an elephant. I was once in Vrindavan and there was this nice procession. There was an elephant who, and there was a priest on top of his huge back holding a deity, and there was music before and after the elephant, and he was just going through Loi Bazaar. But as he was going, the elephant, his trunk moved left and right, like elephant trunks are bound to do. And then, jip, he grabbed a banana, not a banana, like boom, a substantial amount of banana here, and he grabbed oranges here. They have this Indian pumpkin sweets, which are so sweet, like sin, you know. I mean, you lose all your teeth the moment you look at them. They are so sweet. And he took a large contingent of these sweets and tossed. He tossed a lot of things into his never full mouth. You know, he's a whole container. I think the whole universe fits into one elephant, and it became a deep concern. These shop owners, especially those who are before the shops with their, you know, they have these four wheels, bicycle wheels, and their items on the thing. They were highly afraid of this. Our mind is like that also. It goes through the world, zhup, left and right. If I could tell you, a lot of advertisement shields which my mind had seen, you know, like when I was in, maybe I should not, but just to show how the mind grabs things of the world, I saw one poster. There was a man hiding in the bushes, and the poster said, huge poster, 5 meters, trying to hide from the dentist, get sedated, you know. And I can repeat to you, still all the advertisements which I need a divorce, go to so-and-so person with the white teeth on the poster. You know? The mind is constantly out there grabbing things, either in the outside world and rejecting it. Things, oh, this is not good. That is very nice. Zoop, this is not good. Accepting and rejecting goes left and right like the trunk of an elephant. It became so much a problem that the people began to complain. And then the Mahout had an idea. Mahout is the elephant driver. He took a stick and gave that in the trunk of the elephant. And the moment the elephant held the trunk stopped wandering. It held on to the stick. It's the idea of mantra meditation. We hold on to the mantra, and our mind stops wandering left and right, stops engaging with the world. You know, I tried this morning. There is a little problem in completing one project which we built, Bhujan Prabhu and others, the Govardhan Retreat Center. The municipality has closed the Parikram road for vehicles, and we can't bring cement and bricks and tiles and everything through the Parikram path, but there are no good alternative roads. So we are thinking what to do. We need to finish the retreat center. So this problem was there. My mind had, like the trunk of the elephant, caught another problem and was busy with it. Another orange or rotten banana, maybe, or rotten tomato, you know. So now I said this morning, come on, you're giving a holy name retreat to very advanced devotees, so you better practice. Hold now on with your mind to the mantra. And I kept on doing this, and as a result, after so and so many rounds, I was no longer engaged with cement, bricks, and tiles, and trucks, and the never-ending unpredictability of Indian life, you know. I was no longer engaged. It was somewhere else. This is the idea of a mantra. Use your mind to hold on to the mantra. Use it, and then you will lose the other things and concerns. What this amounts to, my dear devotees, is to learn to be present in the present. In the present. Present. Do we say like this? Presence. Yeah. To be present at this particular, what goes on at this moment. Many devotees including myself, have a chronic problem with distraction while chanting. What do you think? What will happen to someone who is 2 hours a day absolutely not present in what he does? That's dangerous. He will not be present with his life. He will not be present in his relationships. He will always be a little in the back. He will never give his best. He will, because he has learned a chronic habit of being absent-minded. And that influences the rest of the life. Vice versa, imagine a devotee who's totally present in this moment, that means this name, Hare, then Krishna, then Rama. He's totally there. I must say, even spaced out chanting is better than no chanting, because at least some divine sound is somewhere. You know, don't think, oh no, better I don't chant at all because I'm chanting so distracted. But the divine sound is there, the benefit is there, but what is also there is the habit, you form a habit of distractedness. So I want to now again start an exercise, and then we do everything at once. Now we address the mind. Are you ready? Some of you have not answered. Let's see if you mean it. We start with the posture. Reposition yourself, please. Then we go to the pronunciation. Then we listen. And then whenever the mind goes, we bring it back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Now there's a very, very easy process in bringing the mind to the presence of the Holy Name and letting the mind, you know, grab on to the Holy Name. This technique, my dear devotees, it has an amazing effect. It helps you to hold on to the mantra and not let it go. And it is simple. Whenever you chant, you bring your whole attention initially to the first Hari of the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama. I know that you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna. You just, as if you are totally wrapping yourself up in the sound, absorbing the sound. So I will help you. Please sit properly with your spine erect. Kindly open your shoulders by rolling them back a little. And I will chant one time alone, and then we will chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Those who chant it are not yet attentive. Yes, we are ruled by habits, but we want to break old habits and be more alert or aware or attentive. So I will chant one time alone. That means you don't chant, and then we chant all together. And then while we chant, I will give you some instructions. Please keep to these instructions and don't finish, or let me say, stop chanting when you hear something. So again, one time alone and then together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Continue.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Please chant a little softer. Hare Hare, Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Full attention to the first Hari. full attention to the first Hare.
Hare Krishna,
yes. The first Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Continue. First Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna.
I will come back in a second. Thank you so very much. This was very, very, very good, really. Now we will do an even much more intense exercise. We will chant for 2 or 3 mantras, focusing all our attention on the first Hari. It's almost like taking a torchlight which bundles all the light in one ray of light and putting it on the first Hari. And then when I give you this sign, we will be with all the names in the mantra, not just the first Hari, but then Krishna and so on and so forth. So, let's do this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now all the names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very, very, very much. Really, I'm now, I have to say something. I'm very, very pleased by how nicely you take to the process. I must also excuse myself at this point. I'm aware that I'm speaking almost like a, for lack of a better word, slave driver. Do this. The reason why I try to do this is to be of service to you, because we need to sometimes break old habits, and if there is not some force done there, it won't happen. So therefore, you will see after the lecture I will be my normal self. You at the moment experience someone who wants to help you by adopting the style of an instructor. I would like to show you a few photos now of pictures which we have made for the Living Name Book, illustrations. I think you get the idea. On the left side you see drawn in white chalk a person who's sitting down to chant. Now, as he chants, he tries to align his body, but then he tries to bring his mind, which is the second person, into entering the stream of the holy names. When we, the holy names are a constant stream of nectar. They are always there, and we need to somehow catch the sound vibration. Or as Prabhupada says, we need to listen to ourselves chant sincerely. This is like entering the stream. In the next photo or picture, we see someone who has entered and who will now offer his attention, full attention to the chanting of the holy name. This is done by bringing our mind always back and refocusing it to the first Hari. Then after some time we can extend the process to be with all holy names. This technique focuses really on being present in the present moment, where the one holy name is there, Hari. Then the but soon we have to and because we may not be able to be present all the time there, we do it in intervals. Hari, always the first Hari, Hari. After some time, the first Hari. So this is the whole idea, but this is not satisfying for a good chanter. He wants to be present with each holy name. And when he is doing that, he is like swimming in the stream of the holy name. That's you when you are present absolutely with each holy name. Huh? So we want to do this now, and we will end this exercise with a kirtan. So the kirtan, we will have only one medanga and one pair of cardals, because this is not a, we won't try to produce an overwhelming loudness of sound, but we will try to absorb ourselves in the sound. That is a different style of kirtan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I request you to sit properly with spine erect. You can open your shoulders by rolling them back. Look, I draw the shoulders up to my ears and then roll them back. You can also bring now the last of the three human endowments, that is your heart, your emotions. There's a beautiful prayer which expresses the mood of a soul who has seen that he has been absent-minded, truant, not present in his relationship with Krishna. And he turns back to Krishna, knowing that this is his only need. The prayer goes like this. My dear Lord, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I'm turning to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. And we try, as we sing now the Hare Krishna mantra together, to really focus our entire attention to each single name of this beautiful holy names. We are also there as devotees. We bring our devotional attitudes and turn to Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
This idea of holding on to the sound vibration, holding on to Krishna in the form of His holy name, being there absolutely with each one of His names, and calling to Him. As Prabhupada would say, like the child which calls for the mother. Child calls properly when the child sees the necessity. I need my mother. I was absent. I was gone so much far away. But now I stay with all the names, all the many names. Again and again. I will not let go of this opportunity. My dear devotees, please sing now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Hare Hare. One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
One more time, as if you really mean it. The chanting should be really a call or an address to Krishna. Do you have something to say, something to share, something to address him with? That needs to be done. Okay, we can start now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
to conclude. Maybe you can see when you bring everything together, the functions of the body, functions of the mind, and even your absent-minded heart, or some little feeling for Krishna, something changes in the atmosphere, something changes in your kirtan, because everything is brought together. Now, locomotion or forward movement is possible. It is a little bit like a train station, but that is to be expected in our situation, I believe, that where we have one room where everything goes on, kitchen and so on. But I want to really, as a preparation for tomorrow, share with you that the chanting really begins to take life when you go beyond these little mechanical practices, or you know, where you bring your body and your mind and your heart to it. It really begins to take full fruition when you add another element. And tomorrow I would like to introduce this element to you. I think it is very, very, very nice. It is called in Sanskrit sambandha. You all know this is how our philosophy is divided in sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana tattva. Let me just conclude with one little thing: catching Krishna, catching the sound vibration. When we were in Vrindavan 3 years ago, we walked to a holy place we never had been before. It was a dried up lake, but once it was full with water, and our guide, an experienced devotee from Vrindavan, told us the following story, that once Krishna, in a very playful mood, his eyes moving, he went to the gopis and said, "Let us see who can stay longer underwater. You girls of Vrindavan or me, the prince of Vrindavan. Who can hold his breath for the most amount of time?" So the playful gopis, led by Srimati Radharani, were first a little bit suspicious, but if that was Krishna's plan to see who can hold the breath longer, then let's do that. So they went into this lake. It's called the Looky Lake, hiding, the lake of hiding. So they made a sign. They counted. Krishna counted. 1, 2, 3. He was there standing in the circle of the gopis. They were all around him. And when he counted 3, all the gopis dunk underwater. Only Krishna remained standing. So when he saw the first sign that the first gopi was coming out of the water, only then he dunked into the water. So one by one, all the other gopis came out. But Syamsunda was not there. Then after what seemed to be a very long time, you know, because they figured he was already in the water, then we were in the water, and he was already underwater. Then Krishna came out very effortlessly and said, "I have won." But Srimati Radharani, knowing the extremely playful nature of Krishna, could sense there was some transcendental something. So with her eyes, she hinted to the other gopis, and they nodded quickly. In Vrindavan, Krishna, the gopis speak through the language of the eyes. No? That's one of the languages. So then Lalita suggested, let us let us repeat this. And this time, oh, I got it all wrong, I'm sorry. Sorry, the first time Krishna dunked underwater and the gopis all stood up waiting for Krishna. So when Krishna came out, when they saw the peacock feather coming just out of the water, the gopis then all together went onto the water. Krishna stood there waiting for the gopis to come out. I got it all wrong, I'm sorry. But I want to make another point. I will soon make the other point. So then Krishna said, we must have a second round. This time, Krishna went under the water. The gopis remained standing, but then he disappeared from under the water, went out of the lake and hid it. And as the gopis were watching for a sign of Krishna to come out of the water, they didn't see a sign. Oh, said Radha to the gopis, this boy doesn't know how to lose. He is now staying under the water and killing himself. Let's quickly go before it's too late. And they all circled in, the circle closed, to find Krishna. But Krishna was, of course, not there. So they began to search for Krishna, really desperately, while Krishna was watching from a nearby tree and looking how his devotees searched and searched and searched. The gopis went out of the water, searched the bushes, searched the environment. They couldn't find Krishna. They thought, because Krishna can't lose, he's now dead in the water or somewhere else, maybe in Yamaloka, the place of Lord Yamaraj. And when they're searching for Krishna, developed a high pitch that they could not imagine to be without Krishna any longer. When they started to faint, then Krishna manifested himself. Here I am again. So I always think in chanting, we need to catch the sound vibration. We need to yearn to be with Krishna. We need to again repair the broken relationship. We need to go back to Krishna. And this is what we do when we chant. We go back to the holy name. Again and again we are with the holy name. Again and again we are there. And soon Krishna will show himself to all of us. I thank you all very much. I will ask now Sri Ram. He brought something with him from Alachua. Sri Ram, please tell the devotees of Hillsborough what you brought.
Hare Krishna, everybody. We have the Living Name book. This is Maharaj's new and complete guide to chanting. And a lot of what we've heard today and we'll hear tomorrow is coming directly from this book. And it's really a culmination of so much of his research and personal efforts and practice in chanting. So we have it available here for purchase. And we have a book table over there. And myself, maybe Hari Shah will be there. And we're asking for $15 for the book. And we also have a special wholesale price. So we're encouraging devotees, if they want to buy many copies, five or more copies, we can get the price for $10 each.
Oh.
And that way you can donate to your friends. They're very good gifts. Probably the best gift you can get someone is the gift of the Holy Name. So please see one of us at the book table. It's a wonderful special opportunity because these go very, very quickly. They sold out in New Vrindavan, they sold out in North Carolina, and also Maharaj is here available to sign the books after his lecture, so please take advantage.
In Silicon Valley. And
yes.
Now we are in North Carolina. Yes. And we have, of course, gifts here. The five practices of the living name are all here. Very nice. You can see and practice. Also, what we did today is just a glimpse into the first yojana. It is all here for you to take. It is our humble request that you take this. Good. Now we want to see. Yes.
Can you take a couple of questions?
We can. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please do forgive me if my question is offending or off topic. Maharaj, I have a question. What is the role of the Diksha Guru in my relationship to Krishna? And I know it's important. How to seek a Diksha Guru? Please give me some guidance.
Yeah. This is, of course, off the subject. So can we park that a little, the question, and see if there are questions for the topic, and then on the topic, and yes, please. But we will answer it at the end. But now where everyone is fresh with the... Yes, please.
So I have a question in relation to the actually two questions. The first one is the pronunciation. So the way the words in Sanskrit is written, Krishna and Rama, in the mantra, how we're actually chanting and we're pronouncing the words, is it correct the way we're doing it, or the grammatical way the Sanskrit was designed and how the word is structured, like Krishna compared to Krushna, which the markers that make the word pronounced. Is it correct, or what is the right pronunciation? How should we do it? And the second question is, You're mentioning about the posture when we're sitting. When we get into the rhythm of the chanting...
About what, please?
Posture.
Mm-hmm.
When we get into the rhythm of chanting, so are we supposed to be like sitting very straight and still and not moving, or as we catch the rhythm, we can sway depending on how we chant?
Yes. You are very precise. You must be a computer engineer. is it? Something. So, on the first question, how to pronounce it, I would recommend to listen to how Srila Prabhupada does it. And he says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other words, all the letters are there. That is like something that helps us a little bit to get it. But Krishna understands the Chinese devotee who can only say Hare Lama, Hare Lama, Lama Lama, Hare Hare. They don't have an R in their language. Krishna understands, like a father understands the sometimes not so 100% expert pronunciations of their child. But still, we should endeavor, and I mean, it's not really like an endeavor. Everyone can do it who has the mouth to do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even in Rama, there is a slight little A. What I was chanting actually with all of you to help you maybe to focus into the sound experience, that was the mantra Ram. It's a beach mantra. It's not the Ram not Ramachandra. No? I just wanted to give the sound, the idea of an experience of a sound. As far as the second question about posture, there's an interesting book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he says, when emotions overcome the chanter, his body swings back and forth. So that is also there. You don't need to, own, in other words, maintain a yogic posture of absolute. Yogic posture means it is easy, but it is steady at the same time. You don't need to do that. No, the normal rule also for japa is to sit and not walk. But again, the tradition, Valadeva Vidyabhushana, says, but if walking is the way you can best chant, then walk. It may be when you are tired, for instance, and when you sit down, you lose it entirely. So then walking is more appropriate. Mm-hmm. Yes, I saw another. Yes.
Maharaji, please accept our humble obeisances. At the very onset, a very useful session for most of us. When you said focus all your attention to the earth, so if we say Krishna, so the focus should be the lotus feet of the Lord, or Krishna, lotus face of the Lord, or just the Lord and we listen to it.
Just the sound. Yes, in the beginning, and it's good to build up everything stable, it's good to focus on the sound, the vibration. Now, as the devotee goes deeper and deeper into deeper areas of chanting, it is involuntarily so that he will think of Krishna's form. From the name, the form arises in his perception. It is, I think, within everyone's experience, when we have a good chanting session going on, we sometimes remember a deity, for instance, and that is very good, that is desired. No? It all becomes, so to say, name, form, then qualities, and so on, become one experience. Prabhupada talks about this when one chants, then one sees, one sees Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna, you know, his pastimes. It will come quite naturally. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have seen this, Mataji. Yes, please.
Thank you for this practical approach. My question is, when we chant in congregation, like all of us are chanting in front of Tulasi Maharaj, and everybody's chanting Hare Krishna Mantra, so everybody is audible because as we need to hear it. But when we all chant together, it's sometimes that we do not hear what we are chanting. You know, because all of us are chanting loud and sometimes in sync, sometimes everybody's together. How can we practically hear our own voice?
Yes. You speak of japa when we all sit together and do japa. Yeah. There is a very, very easy little trick, but it should not be done all the time. You take with your left hand your ear, and then you bring it like this towards the mouth, and it looks like a telephone chanting. I won't look at all of you, because some feel embarrassed when they're seen like this. But please do it and chant Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You pull the ear a little bit forward, yes? Hare Rama, Yama, Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Can you hear how loud you are? Yes, good. Okay, we can, fine. I will look again. So, this can be done as an aid or as a help, but it should obviously not become the main distinguishing feature of the Hare Krishna movement. You know, it's something new. It's a question of concentration. When your attention is spread out, you will in fact tend to be drowned by the sound of the other chanters near to you, especially when you have someone from Texas just next to you. And he may not be extremely considerate of other. I want to say something humorous, but this is not correct because it's humor at the cost of another state of America. So I take this back. When you have someone who's maybe not so considerate of the sound from others, then. It can really you hear nothing and you only hear that other voice, and it is amplified 1,000,000 times in your perception because you feel so angry and why is he so in or she so inconsiderate, and then you are only focused on this by the strong feeling which you have. But that is something that is to be corrected from your side. See, I'm in the habit to chant because I'm traveling to chant in my room, and I really appreciate this only peaceful time in my life in the morning. But when I'm in temples, I often also join the others to give an example and so on. Then I notice it. Whoa, it's so loud, and you know, Prabhu super loud is then there, and I only hear Prabhu super loud, but I notice it's my own ability on. Let me say. Failure of ability, how do you say this? Disability, lack of ability to focus on myself. I have to work on this. Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, thanks for your wonderful seminar. So, regarding the alignment topic, mm-hmm. So far, whenever I'm chanting, when I'm sitting down with legs crisscrossed and a straight spine, I could have the maximum attention and I could be able to go as deep as I can while chanting. But unfortunately, I have an injury on my knee. I can't sit for a prolonged time and I'm forced to get up and walk and chant or stand up and chant for some time. But I have a desire to sit and absorb in the Holy Land. So, what would you suggest for my situation or any similar situation where someone else couldn't continuously sit in his position and chant?
Our civilization has invented doors for certain reasons. Ananda Gauranga, can you help the devotees to find the doorknob? You can sit on a chair, just make sure that your spine remains straight. It's here, this part of the body, which is taking care of the concentration. This is not so necessary. And then I would say, you're a young man, if you have a knee injury, better is to take care of that and you know, do the required exercises to create again the necessary things. What will happen when you are old and you don't take care now of the knee injury? Young men should be, unless it's absolutely karmically there, it is not natural to have a knee injury. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. And I have a second question.
So whenever we have a nice kirtan or when a nice lecture on Krishna Katha or nice association of devotees, we will be having a very good impression that actually boosts our inspiration to do our sadhana. But over the time, they will again come down to ground level. That's pretty natural because we are all, I'm so conditioned. So my question is, how can we increase the longevity of the impression that we...
Wonderful question. Your good name?
Gadai
Gauranga Prabhu. This is a very important question, which is very often asked by retreat participants, that they get such a boost in their energy, so many new insights, but then they come home and they can maintain it maybe for a week, 2 weeks, but then it fades out. First of all, that is unfortunately natural, because you get a dosis of inspiration from outside of you, but you are not yet on that level where you are always so inspired. It's almost like you get a big feast, but later, when you are at home, you will have to work for the feast, you know. You know, if you want to make a feast at home, you have to work for this. So in a gathering, you get so much spiritual inspiration, but then when you come out of the gathering, after some time you have to do your work. What I always recommend, and please listen carefully, I always ask my people, why are 98% of New Year's resolution failing? 98%, that's a drastic amount, statistical figure. The resolutions are too big for people to follow up on, and they also don't have an environment in their life that nourishes this. So you need to do two things. Take small steps, and then see that you create an environment in your life, or circumstances is a much better word, circumstances in your life that nourish you. I know exactly what you mean, also from my own experience. I always wondered, we had this huge kirtan events like in Russia, 6,000 people chanting their hearts out. You know, the Russian devotees really chant like anything. They have this, whatever is in the Russian mind, that is really 100% there. They're not distracted. And then to chant and dance, and then you come back to other places, and it's not the same inspiration. But you would like to be so inspired as you were when you chanted with all these many devotees, because you would like to help the atmosphere to rise. It's your service. You're supposed to do this as a traveling preacher. So I have studied this a lot. You know, habit building. How you do this? Build a new habit, which means also sometimes to be a habit-breaking hero, you know. There's a lot to say, but very simply said, bringing it to a point, takes doable steps with you from the experience, and then creates circumstances in your life that nourish those, the execution of those.
That really helps, Maharaj.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So I had a question about the idealized normalcy concept that you mentioned. It it seems fascinating to me that it's quite hard to break a habit and rather than falling into the idealized normalcy. So one of the things that I personally struggle with is after a while is the idea of finishing my rounds rather than actually chanting. I find myself trying to finish my rounds.
Yes. I had last year, I can talk about a personal experience in this month where I only chant. I noticed something which totally upset me. I could not finish the normal amount of rounds which I chant. It's much more than 16, but I could not finish it. And I thought, whoa, I have become older. Is it, what is the situation? And I tried for day after day, and it just didn't work. Then I did something. I forgot about numbers. Of course, more than 16 rounds, but the high numbers. And I gave myself the permission to just be with the holy name. Take all the stress and focus, the focus on the numbers away. Now, after some time, I noticed I could chant with taste, and then after some more time, I reached the quota which I set during this month very easily and went beyond it also. So this is. So, see, in this world, everything you do has, it's like the two sides of a coin. Numbers are necessary. 16 rounds is necessary, otherwise we wouldn't do it. But numbers can also create a pressure and a strain and make us forget the whole idea of devotional practice. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I've finished my rounds. And then he says, oh, what a counting game. I've finished my rounds, and there is not even a drop of love for Krishna. Oh, what a counting game. You know, children have these counting things, you know, 1, 2, 3, and they feel greatly successful when they say, 10, 10, we did dad, 10, 10, 11. This is how many of us are approaching our sadhana. We go for the numbers, not for the spiritual, not for bhakti, not for offering devotional service. At the same time, because we are what we are, we need our numbers, otherwise we wouldn't chant a sufficient amount of time. So you have to find your own approach to this. This morning I got up late because I came from somewhere, and I was knowing, oh my God, if I now come into this numbers, I must finish my numbers by a certain amount of time. How will I be able to give a good holy name seminar? I don't want to the devotees to, you know, I don't want myself to be only a number man when it comes to chanting the holy name, which is the most fulfilling devotional activity in Kali Yuga. So you need to see there is a danger that you get it wrong, and instead of chanting Hare Krishna, you chant numbers. 1, 2, 3. Yes, Prabhu? Are you the brother of Jagat Purush, Prabhu?
Yes, I'm the younger brother. He's my Vardhman Pradarshika Guru.
Wonderful. I thought so, but I didn't know who was older or younger. But just by the appearance, one could see similarities. Yeah. What is your good name?
Banabata Das.
Banubata.
Bana.
Banabata. Vana, like forest, for Vanabhata Prabhu. Yes, please.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. As to a testament to the power of this exercise, which you engage this in, during the time of your presentation, the exercise and everything, I had a particular conception in my mind of the time that it passed. And when I looked at my phone, my clock on my phone at the end of the exercise, it said an hour and 20 minutes. And my mind was, my rational mind was immediately incredulous and said, that's impossible. Because it felt like 15 or 20 minutes. And I realized it was the absorption that I gained from the exercise of focusing on the mantra and the benefit of that. So thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah, Vanabhata Prabhu, it's really when you chant with absorption, it's as if you discover the holy name for the first time. It's I would just like to make one comment on this. Haridas Thakur, he says, on my own, it is not possible to control the restless mind. The defeat on the over the mind can only be attained by your mercy. He addresses Krishna. So to chant with absorption, it's good if we pray for it. It's really, it's not a matter of, you know, we have to do something on our side to show that we are really interested, but the exercises alone are not sufficient to bring about a revelation of the holy name. It's Krishna's mercy that will come very clearly out in the more, let us say, in the later practices of the chanting. But thank you. Nice. I'm very happy that it worked for you. Mm-hmm. Yes, we will give you a microphone so that everyone can hear.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, I always heard whenever we do the Hare Krishna Japa, we have to say loudly and we have to listen whatever you say. Mm-hmm. But after one round, two rounds, you feel you're not there. You're like body feel like you're not there and I cannot say the mantra. It just go automatically in the mind. So I don't know how to speak the Hare Krishna mantra. Like the Vikas Prabhuji and Kirtida Mataji always teach us how to do japa and all. And we follow that. But after two rounds, I cannot speak it. I just got so quiet and it just goes in the mind. I can hear it in my mind, but I cannot speak it.
Yeah.
Why is that? Like, what should I do to do my all the rounds?
Yeah. First of all, I've heard this many times that devotees who start in their chanting cannot keep the sound vibration alive for so many rounds. But that is something which is there in the beginning. If I would ask my assistant Gaur Krishna maybe a year ago to do push-ups, he would have been able to accomplish 1.5 push-ups. Mm-hmm. But now he is doing this almost regularly, and he's now at 10. Yeah? Not 10, no? We won't request him to do it for us. But it's a matter of exercise. And we can train the body, and we certainly can train the mind. We just have to be willing to do that.
Like, but is it okay to go like that without speaking?
Yes, when you can't speak, then why don't you try and try to continue? Prabhupada said this, either chant in the loud or in the mind, there is no difference. But still, he would always prefer the, it's called Upangsu Japa, the japa where you speak it not so loud like in Kirtan, like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Because then you have the mind and the sound, both. It is better if additionally to the mind you also have the sound vibration. It's a, why don't you try to increase? Now you have two audible rounds. Try to go to three, then to four, then to...
Without sound, I can do rounds. But
but try to... So for now, two rounds, and then without sound, only in the mind. But maybe after a week, three rounds. Then after another week, 4, 8, 16... 64, 120. Yes.
Thank you so much for the beautiful class and seminar and the question answer session. So, like Prabhuji mentioned that he has a problem in his knee. I don't have any problem, but I cannot sit in one posture for maybe even more than 2 minutes. And even if I sit, it's like this. I can focus in this situation, but I cannot sit in this one because it pulls my attention. I mean, it doesn't let me be in the japa. So what to do?
You have a lot of energy, maybe, or yeah, is it pitta or is it so? Sorry.
Vata.
Yes. Yeah. Vata. Yes. Yeah. Well. It's not about posture, you know. If the posture, if you are somehow conditioned in such a way that you cannot sit, who is the sound man? The absolutely conscientious. Yeah. If you cannot sit for a long time in one position, then change the position. Whatever works. The chant that you do. It's not really about posture.
And our faces should be straight or
normal? I like this, facing down.
Should the face... What helps very much if you have an altar and before the altar you look at the Hare Krishna. Will you take a little prasadam with you? You're fine like this? Hare Krishna. What helps very much in chanting is to look at the form of the deities. So you can sit down like this and then you have a little altar and then you look like this. But when you are sitting in a temple room where the deities are a long way or the curtain are closed, what to do with the eyes? The eyes should be fixed. The idea is they should not move around. Because when the eyes are in movement, the mind gets distorted, disturbed. There's a saying, I've said this in New Vrindavan, from the Nadya Shastra, the dance Shastra. Wherever the hand goes, there the eyes go. And where the eyes go, there the attention goes. So, therefore, when you drive cars in a car you know, as a not as a main driver, but next to the driver G, and you see all of this flying by the landscape, especially for a Vata person, then you are totally distracted and totally the mind just cannot go with you. So when you ride in a bullock cart, the instruction is, now we drive in cars, bind your eyes like this if you want to chant. I don't know if we can do this in modern life, but the idea is focus. What I do when I do a japa walk, because sometimes I need to move the body, I always fix my eyes on one. We are in near the forest. I fix my eyes on one tree, and then I move toward the tree without looking left and right, and then fix again a goal in 200 meters or so and approach it. The idea is not don't chant with roving eyes, because you won't be able to maintain concentration.
All sorts of work also come up in the mind at that point in time when you're doing japa.
All types of work.
All comes. Types of things that I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do this, oh, this is necessary, this is critical. So
what you can do is just write a do list, but not for eternal times, you know. Just there are maybe 10 tasks, and you write them down, and then you say, they're all on the paper, I don't have to remember them any longer.
Thank you. One more question.
Oh. By the way, this will be the last question, because Pasharam is also there. Yes.
So, you have to do the japa, but it takes a long time. If I try doing this, I'll never be able to reach the office. So
it depends when you go to bed the night before. That again, when you will decide when you are able to rise in the morning. Yes, back to God. The project of going back to Godhead requires some sacrifice of other things. Never forget, if you want to get something higher, you need to give up something lower. Otherwise, it won't work.
With this, would we be able to complete in 2 hours?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for your very honest and relevant questions. My dear devotees, I thank you all very, very much. I really feel if we go now longer than all of us could not respect Pasharam, so better to stop here. And all of us, I see there is nice Pasharam for all of you. You will get. Hare Krishna. Aditya Narayan will just say something.